This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
During the pandemic, as we start to come out of it, and hopefully we're going to continue in that direction, you see these postings on Facebook and the news and all this of signs that stores have been putting up in their windows, clever little things. And I ran across one that really caught my attention. And this is what this particular coat store in England put up on their window, this note. "We have been established for over 100 years and have been pleasing and displeasing customers ever since. We have made money and lost money. Suffered the effects of a coal nationalization, coal rationing, government control, bad payers, and pandemics. We have been cussed and discussed, messed about, lied to, held up, robbed, and swindled. The only reason we stay in business is to see what happens next." I think there is a lot in terms of our continuing journey, and especially as we look at this beatitude, and as we look at what this gospel has to say, the overarching picture is, let's stick it out to see what happens next. In our particular small group that meets on Wednesdays, you know, there are the scriptures in this series that they give you each week to reflect upon in your group. And this particular last week, they gave us one for this beatitude: "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." They give us sections of Psalm 107, but they suggest that perhaps you should reflect upon the whole psalm. So in our group, that's what we chose to do because I'm their leader and I said that's what we're going to do. But it was a good thing for us to do because it's a great psalm. If you ever want to give thanksgiving in your prayer life, it's a great psalm to use because it is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is a psalm where there are four groups of people who the scholars tell us probably all had gathered in Jerusalem for some sort of thanksgiving rite. And it's these four different groups of people who had distress in their lives, and the Lord delivered them from their distress, as the psalm keeps saying over and over again. They cried out to the Lord in their distress, then he delivered them. So there is one group, though, that caught the attention of our little subgroup. And verse 17 says this, because this is one group that had been delivered from a sickness or illness that they had. And the line reads, "Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction." There was an Old Testament notion that sin led to sickness. It was something that you had done wrong that accounted for your condition. That's wrong. They established a causal connection between sin and sickness. And so it led to a logical but incorrect conclusion. If I lead a righteous life, I will have no suffering. Well, we know that that's not true. Look at Jesus, the righteous one who endured more suffering than any person in history. But the opposite is equally false. If I have sickness or suffering, I am therefore not living a righteous life. That's not true. Righteousness. The condition of having good relationships with God, achieved by submission to God's will. The Pharisees, they thought that this condition of righteousness was achieved by following those rules they had established. And if you did that, everything was going to be fine. But Jesus today in this gospel is talking about going from that beatitude we had last week about being meek and going the next level to being righteous and hungering and thirsting for it. Remember when we looked at blessed are the meek and that word translated praus having to do with an animal, an oxen or a horse or a mule being bridled, being focused, being directed so that every ounce of energy that that animal has stays within the boundaries of its purpose. Well, the Pharisees thought they were doing that. They set up these 700 plus laws so you couldn't go out of bounds there or out of bounds there because I'm following all of these things and not doing the things out there, so I will stay focused. The problem is, it became all about the external doing and not doing, and there was nothing going on in here. And that's what Jesus is getting at. That's what this beatitude is getting at. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, when we look at the way that those words are used in the Bible, when they talk about hungering for bread or thirsting for water, the normal sort of words that come after that are in what they would call the genitive case. And it would translate, it doesn't sound right in English, but it's like of bread or of water. So when you said something like, I hunger for of bread, it's like, I want a piece of bread. Not the whole loaf, but I just want some bread. Or I thirst for of water. I want some water. I'm thirsty. But in this case, in this beatitude, the case is changed to direct accusative. And it changes the whole meaning. It's no longer, I want a piece of bread. It's, I want the whole load of the Pellegrino. It's about the totality of it. And this particular beatitude of hungering and thirst for righteousness is trying to help us understand it's being all in. It's not just about obeying laws and not doing and doing. It's about with all my whole being, my heart, my soul, my mind, everything is focused on this relationship with God. So what does that have to do with this gospel? Well, they asked Jesus these questions about these natural disasters that had happened. Now, we can't find any historical proof of this, but by what Luke says, it sounds like there were some Jews that came up to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifice in the temple, and Pilate, who was a really bad guy, one of the worst guys in history, he kills the Jews who are offering the sacrifice. He takes the blood of the animals and he takes the blood of these people and mixes it together. It's the most gross, disgusting, awful thing you could imagine. Now, the people are talking to Jesus thinking, why did that happen to them? What did they do wrong? What was their sin? And then Jesus himself adds in the other one, well, this is a historical thing. There was some construction project by the Pillar of Siloam. If you've been to the Holy Land, you've probably been there. And there was this big tower, and something happened. The tower fell, and 18 people at the Pool of Siloam, poof, they're dead. And Jesus, the same thing, he says, look, do you think that happened because they sinned? No, it just happened. It has nothing to do with the way they were living their lives. But the fact that it did happen should be a wake-up call to y'all. That's what Jesus is trying to get at here. So many things happen in our world. You know, when, let's face it, we think about these horrible events going on in Ukraine, the horrible deaths and everything that have touched all of our lives in these last 2 years, God didn't cause that. But what Jesus is saying is that should make us realize that we better start clinging to life a little more and living it to the fullest, because none of us knows when our own personal clock is going to run out. So it becomes this call to us for choosing to live a more righteous, more authentic life. Later on in this chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel, where this beatitude comes from, Jesus says this, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And if you want to go into the end of chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel, he gives a whole list of all of these things and explanations as to what our righteousness is called to be like, to hunger and thirst for it with all of our heart and our soul. And that becomes so important for us to consider. So we go from that fallacious notion of sin and suffering. And let's face it, there's too many times in our lives where we go there. We lose somebody. We get sick. We lose a job. And we think God is punishing us. Jesus is saying no. And especially at these times when these horrible things happen in our communities and in the lives of people we know and don't know, it is a call to us to wake up, to start that path, to re-energize that path towards righteousness in our lives. And then he goes and tells a parable. And it truly is a parable of hope, the parable of the fig tree. I have to laugh a little bit, perhaps with my wife, whenever I read about this fig tree thing, because we tried 3 times to grow a fig tree in our yard, and we got absolutely nowhere, gave up. They lose all their leaves. They look like they're absolutely dead. But if you hang on, the leaves eventually, for the most part, come back. And what's important is that God is calling us to participate in all of this. It's not like we have a God who has us all like puppets to bring about the righteousness in the world. Is that God will not do it without our participation. And that is the hope in this parable. Notice that it's the owner who just says, cut it out. It's not doing anything. It's using up worthwhile soil. He's got really no skin in the game. He's not involved in the process. He just owns the land. But who is it? It's the gardener. It's the hands-on person who's got the skin in the game here who says, let's be patient. Let me dig around it. Let me put some manure in it. There's a whole sermon in there too, by the way. Water it. And then let's see. We have another chance. We have a God of second chances. We have a God who gives us an extension. We all know about extensions. I know about them from my school days. You got that term paper that's due. It's midnight the night before it's due, and it's just not coming together. You go into the classroom the next day and you're begging that professor, just give me one more day. And hopefully you get that extension. Or it's tax season, huh? How many of us got to file for that extension? I'm just not getting the numbers together by April 15th. Well, there is an extension that is granted to that fig tree today. God continues. The fact that we're here, We've been given an extension. Every day is an extension for us. So perhaps today, as we reflect upon hungering and thirsting for righteousness, as we understand that the knowledge that this life will come to an end should not be a downer for us, but an invigorator that God is calling us to begin today to go to that next level of hungering and thirsting for righteousness, to rejoice and to begin anew, as this is the first day of that next extension for each one of us. Amen.